Have you guys eaten breakfast yet? It's the beginning of the day, and the first thing you do is you break the fast. It's biblical in nature. It's habitual. It's what you do first thing in the morning. It could be a combination of foods, but we hope that we get a round diet, and it's been the subject of a lot of nuance when it comes to what you're supposed to eat first thing in the morning to break that fast. But should you at all? Like, how much of your day should be spent increasing BDNF? How much of your day should be spent relying on ketones for an energy source for your brain? And let's be just real. Let's be biblical. How much of your day should be spent just focusing on your inner resiliency, strength, and willpower? All of those things that I just mentioned can be enhanced with a fast. So put down your orange juice, put down your chilaquiles, put them down, strive for a fast, or at very least, join me right here, Ego Killer Motivation, on another TGIM, and it's our hope that our week is going to be on 10. And one of the ways we can make sure that we start off our day on 10 is by knowing everything about our nutrition, going to CoachJohanCSCS.com, and downloading your free packet right there. Then follow along with the master classes. Speaking of eating, I've been speaking a lot lately about fasting. I've been speaking to you guys individually about fasting as well inside the gym. I've heard a lot of people ask me about this. Recently, I've heard other people tell, you know, oh, what do? You look lean. Are you doing that intermittent fast? Like, what's going on with that? And this is a topic I've covered with my website and my content on that website for a long time. Intermittent fasting, I break it down for you guys on that website. I go through the multiple types of ways to do it, whether you're deep fasting for 2 days and ad lib eating on the other, and then just going from there, or if we're doing a 16-8 or an 8-16, all of this might sound like gibberish, especially if you don't give a damn and you just like to eat. But if we're looking to kind of increase how many fatty acids are there for burning, we fast. But why? What is so romantic about a fast? Why is it so uniquely interesting that you fast at all? If, as someone who has a nutrition background, I'm going to offer you guys a lot of solutions about why it is so sexy and interesting. For one, it's the opposite of how we're supposed to live our life on a daily basis in our culture these days. We're thrown and inundated pretty much with all different types of foods. When we go to the supermarket, you have the choice, especially nowadays, especially in the last 10 to 15 years. Just think how many types of bread. That's it. Let's just stop at the bread aisle. And think of all the overwhelming types of brands and choices you could get for different types of bread. You want that 4-grain? You're going to go up to that 6-grain and just give your toilet the blues? Are you going to go ahead and do that sourdough? Or are you just going to make your own? We have so many choices. Think about going and buying some dairy, some of that half and half. How many choices you have on something like that right there. Coffee, everything. We have so many choices. And so the idea that not going through all those choices might be beneficial to us seems pretty intrinsic. Seems pretty, necessary. Seems pretty useful. Like, let's get away from the idea of us just being overwhelmed with all the different stuff that we need to eat. And let's get back to basics. That is what's romantic about a fast. And a few years ago, the idea of doing an intermittent fast started to pick up way more steam. For me personally, I had a really smart trainer friend that used to drop information on me, little nuggets of information on me and my clientele right there. Really smart dude. And he would suggest that people do that intermittent fast. This is many, many 10 years plus, maybe about 15 years ago. And thinking back on it, I'm like, okay, time traveler. He might have had a point right there. I've taken so much time on certain days on Sunday for many Sundays, and I actually have done types of fasting without even thinking like, yo, I need to get into this fasting right quick. There's just so many reasons that we defer to it. It like balances out our life, going back to what we said about how there's so many choices. Like, what are we doing with all this fasting? I don't know, but we're going to break it all the way down. Let's break it down. Have you fasted on purpose? I know for me on Sundays, not so much anymore, but there was a long stretch of time where I would really fast on purpose on Sundays. And how do you guys feel after you fast? Maybe you missed a few meals because you were working really, really hard, right? Intentionally. You intentionally skipped some of your meals because you're working way too hard one day. Or you decided like, yo, I need to lose some of this body fat. I'm just going to drink like green juice throughout the day. Some of those bean sprout shots, right? All throughout the day in order to kind of boost this metabolism all the way up. How did you feel? Did you feel weaker? Did you feel dumber? All right. Did you feel like listless? Did you feel the opposite? Did you feel sharper? Did you feel more mentally astute? More erudite? How did you feel? For me on those Sundays, the combination of sluggishness took over, but the great feeling of me being not stuffing myself, spend the weekend eating everything in sight. Eating everything in sight, saying no to nothing, going way too far when you shouldn't have, as some people that I know put it. Eating until you're full and then having one more. Eating until it hurts and then having one more. When you have weekends like that, it'll make you want to fast. And maybe so you wake up and you don't eat for a few hours past what is a normal breakfast time. And what happens to your body is, you know, you start to metabolize ketones. But maybe something else happens. Let's take a look at what might happen if you're talking about. Let's take a look at the foundational reasons that we fast. And then after that, what we're going to do is talk about the book. We're going to talk about the book, The Complete Guide to Fasting. Jason Fung, Jimmy Moore. And we're going to really do a dive. Because, of course, there are many types of fasts. We're talking intermittent fasting, which is the one that everybody knows about. We talk about water fasting. Oof. Fasting on water, or is it drinking just water? We can talk about dopamine fasting. I feel like we can all get a handle on that dopamine fasting right quick. I think that there's something to be said and useful about that dopamine fasting, because I feel like dopamine might be the soma of the masses. I feel like we have found ways to increase our own dopamine in public, in front of everybody, with all eyeballs on us at all time. If we're feeling like, oh, I'm standing, you know, I'm waiting for a prescription or something like that. I'm waiting for my, you know, asthma. I'm waiting for my, I don't know, my whatever prescription. Or you're standing in line at the supermarket and you're like, yo, this is taking too long. I need a dopamine. And you just reach for the cell phone. We figured that one out all too quick. Although they're trying to kick TikTok's ass up out the paint. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe we'll get less dopamine hits in that case, because they certainly perfected it. He certainly perfected it. So we talk about those two types of fasts. And then we're going to go into why they're so kind of beneficial. Why? What makes them so sexy, right? Intermittent fasting, of course, is where we just talked about it. It's intermittent. You're not supposed to do it all day, every single day. Some people like to think that you're supposed to do it all day, every day. And it's going to go back, and we'll talk more about it, to this idea that it's strengthening your resolve and your discipline. By the way, any diet that you guys or any of your friends have taken up in the past is strictly addictive and strictly romanticized because of the notion that you're supposed to go through all of this pain to get to your final destination of losing weight. And if you have the resiliency, the perseverance to last through the pain, well, the diet is working. And that's all bullshit, right? But for the longest time, diets were kind of linchpinned on that ideal. Like, you got to suffer to get there. Well, yeah, you got to change. It's not suffering. So intermittent fast, you're not supposed to do it all the time. Dopamine fast. What we say is take away all of those tiny little shots of dopamine in the lifestyle. You trying to feel better immediately? You do the thing. You're feeling kind of sluggish in the middle of the day, you drink the thing. Whatever the thing is, we could maybe reserve from doing it. That's your dopamine fasting. And then finding our way into a water fast, where water might be what we drink most of the day, helping us to hydrate. But also we're talking about stifling hunger when we feel like that's necessary. Maybe it's a day of us drinking water. And then we're going to talk a tiny bit about the idea of autophagy. Phage, right? F-A-P-H, not F-A. P-H-A-G-Y, phagy, is the removal of material inside your body. Phagy. All right? There's stuff. There's little garbage men and women. There's little janitors up in your body that go around and pick up trash, right? Apparently, we can stimulate this process a little quicker with our fast. And with that water fast, we're supposed to do that. But I want to talk about something a little bit deeper than that, which is why. All right? Why we do it. We do it because we want to lose weight. We do it for longevity. I think we do it for a mental reset mostly. I think that there's something intrinsic to you guys wanting to feel your 10 toes down in your decision making and resetting that behavior pattern and decision making in your food. It's almost like you go to Vegas for a week and you come back and then you go to church for 6 months or something like that. It's almost like you come off a vacation and then you're in the gym 7 days a week. You're trying to erase all of the lack of decision making. Physically, we don't need to do any of that. Physically, ideally, you can just do both. You could be on a part-time vacation and you could be out here getting in great shape, right? But there's something between the ears that indicates, nope, that's bad. This is good. Not having decision making over what I'm supposed to be eating, eating too much, eating till it hurts, and then having one more, that's bad. Not eating at all, making me think about it more, that's good. Now, if you guys want to lose some of that body fat, now we're talking about another reason why we fast, because if you get fewer calories inside your body, you're going to lose weight. And then the idea that there is something to be said about longevity. I mean, look at how our life expectancy has shot up recently. Maybe there was something to be said about that, right? I mean, our life expectancy keeps going up and up and up. And we know one thing, there was less food availability and less food knowledge when our parents and grandparents were children. Maybe there is something to the idea that just a minor fast may be beneficial. I don't know. That's why everyone's out here living to be 90 if they have, you know, no illnesses or no accidental tragedies. But it's still sexy. It's still sexy. You guys still want to fast. Like, I love food. I'll always opt for eating more. But for me, on those Sundays sometimes, I'll say, yeah, let me skip a couple of these earlier meals. I notice that if I skip too many meals, I'm like, oh, I turn into a zombo, and I don't quite recover for like 2 days. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe like a few hours. But I notice, like, if my brain starts using just ketone bodies as fuel, even though those ketone bodies, right, the metabolites of fat, are better for your thinking, I know that I feel, like, mentally more sluggish. But according to the science, you actually feel better. A lot going on in between the ears. Ketones, those things that make your brain feel better. We talk about brain-derived nootropic factor, BDNF, for example. Increasing mental clarity. These things are what it's pointed to when we fast. Let me know in the comments, does this matter to you? I think it matters. I remember all of those stories that you read coming up if you go to church, or if somebody threw a Bible at you at some point, or I don't know, maybe you got to the motel early before your crew got there and you just, hey, what's this? And you flip to the page and you're learning about the epic fast, right? Or the journey through the desert, whatever it might be, and you learn that people fasted. And then you think about those folks in your life, those people, those friends that you have in your life who on Ramadan, Yom Kippur, or in Lent, right? They fast. Like, what are they? Are they for Ramadan? For Ramadan, Yom Kippur, or Lent? Is that about a six pack? What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments. Was one of the byproducts that the apostles thought of when we built these celebrations, were they thinking about their six pack? What is it with the Abrahamic religions and fasting? What is it with many cultures and religious spiritual practices and fasting? Like, why? Well, I think it has to do with a few things. We'll talk about those things. The last time I competed, the last few times that I was going to compete, I never had to worry about my weight because just the frame that I am, my ancestors probably fasted their asses off because my metabolism is through the roof. So when it comes to being in shape, I have to work extra hard. When it comes to doing certain specific moves, gotta work real, real hard. When it comes to dropping weight, I ain't gonna work that damn hard. I ain't even gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. I hate it. Don't mind me. Don't care. Like, because if your metabolism is really high, you're going to lose muscle too. And I don't want to lose any damn muscle. There's no desire in me to lose muscle at all. Your metabolism is really high. If you have the type of genome that your ancestors were used to fasting, maybe they had to cross over here or they had to do a lot of, they were really nomadic, or they were, your ancestors were living in a certain part of the homeland where there was only access to fruits and berries and stuff like that. Like, you're just used to fasting. Maybe you grow up with a higher metabolism. Okay? Maybe that's just the way it is. But I've always been able to enter. There are times where I've had contests and I've had contests and opponents are 10, 15-ish pounds more than me, coming in at over 200 pounds. A little bit shorter than me, but 200 pounds. Right? And then they see this skinny stick in front of them. They're like, oh, I'll just walk through him. But what's between the ears is what really matters. What's between the ears is what really matters. But other people who do participate in the act of fighting, they have to lose weight. Wrestlers have to cut weight. And bodybuilders, you got to cut weight. And there's always a measure of fasting. There's a measure of fasting, especially with bodybuilders, right before that competition. You got to watch out how much salt you're taking in, but you also have to stay hydrated. Same thing. If you're out here fighting and you're losing weight, you might have to induce a fast. And that can be a good way to drop pounds. But there's one thing that I always feel like fighters take pride on when they're doing this type of thing. Ready? I still lose weight after all this time. I never missed weight. No matter what, it's professional for this person to come in at the weight class we discussed. There's just so much pride in making weight cuts happen, in coming in for your battle ready with your weight underneath you. So much pride affiliated with that type of thing. There is something to be said about the discipline, the focus on inner strength that those fighters, men and women, adopt because they hit that weight. I'm like, yo, that is a beast. That must be really, really painful to go ahead and drop, you know, 12 pounds, have about 2 weeks to do it just for a competition, just for a fight, whatever it might be. You have to do it sometimes. But of course it is professional to go ahead and say, hey, we have the deal coming at this weight. Why? Why is it so sexy? Because there's resilience involved. We talked about it. We talked about it at the beginning. There's so many things that you could buy, including healthy things that are made from legumes and soybeans that are like a quarter of its non-soybean counterpart. Get you one of those cheddar sausages. And now instead of cheddar sausage, it's soy cheese and pumpkin seeds with a little bit of tomato paste sausage. You know what I mean? And that right there is like 90 calories per versus 270. So like now we're cutting weight. We're over here eating like plant-based spaghetti, which can be very tasty. That's the number one. It better be tasty. It's not. I'm not eating that crap if it doesn't taste good. It tastes like cardboard, right? But there's a measure of resilience. I stuck to my guns. I could have eaten anything, and I chose to eat the cardboard version. There's my favorite thing in the world that I feel has inroads into so much of our dopamine-filled lifestyles, and that's that delayed gratification. Instant gratification feels exceptional. But a measure of resilience is tied to this concept of delaying gratification, looking inward, letting that celebration of a victory just happen versus hunting for it like a mirage in the desert. Delayed gratification makes fasting worthwhile. Maybe you guys can begin your next week with a Sunday morning fast along with your boy. See how it makes you feel. Increasing that BDNF. And we can maybe think about how we can boost motivation if we fast. Does that help you guys do that? All right. We will get into a little bit of the complete guide to fasting, Fung and more, and some of the stuff that they talk about. Just the idea of these few things. Okay, they talk about disease prevention and management, the emotional benefit, and also we're talking about from that book, historical practices. A lot of what we learn about modern nutrition, modern fitness, when it's tied to history, we try to run as fast as we can from the origin of whatever that history was. Like, we're not out here fasting by putting lamb's blood over the door, and then this is our last meal. No. We're not doing all that. Just in the same way we don't listen to music that's tied to history, historical inception either, when it was all church music. And that was the whole reason music is a thing, because we had to celebrate spiritually with music. It was an expression to God on a thank God it's Monday. So we ran from the roots in music. Let's run from the roots when it comes to our reasons to fast and adapt to the modern world, whether it is some of these fasts, all right? So let's go over some of the points inside the book, okay? And then we're going to finish by tying this stuff together, the types of fasts that I talked about. Inside the book, they talk about how we treat type 2 diabetes and obesity, metabolic syndrome. And it presents fasting as a tool for insulin sensitivity improvement, weight management, and a non-pharmacological approach to disease prevention. And I mean, look, any cultures that I feel like aren't inundated with the idea that you're supposed to go to the supermarket and fill up your cart and then get up out of there as fast as you can. You're not supposed to look at food labels. That's a waste of time. You're supposed to break your bank account every time you go to the supermarket, try to empty that thing out. You could always buy an extra box of cookies. You go ahead and do that. How many types of pastries do we have in the aisle? Go ahead and break your wallet there. These are the reasons, right? But if we think about cultures that don't do that, probably we're thinking less type 2 diabetes for the most part. Metabolic syndrome, definitely. There is a correlation. People using fasts. I mean, do you remember when I think about fasting at a high level, I always think about, and I don't know anything about Ramadan, so full respect, but I'm saying Hakeem Olajuwon. He used to play those ball games, and they would always turn to him and show him on the sideline just hurting. And they're like, it's Ramadan. It's currently Ramadan. Hakeem can't do anything but drink water for the next 3 hours. Because as long as the sun's up, it's, you know, he can't he can't eat. And they'd show him on the sideline just leaning on his teammates. He got the towel over his face. He's suffering. And then he would go out here and score 38. Right? That's what I think of when I think of that, because I also think Hakeem was skinny as hell. Now, if you saw Hakeem Olajuwon in the 90s in person, he's not looking skinny. He's looking like a huge dude that could run work on you if he wanted to. Right? He's lean for like a ball player maybe, but he's a big dude. But I remember thinking like, oh man, maybe that's how he gets so damn lean. Maybe his body just constantly leaching free fatty. He's just burning fat. His body, yeah, man, his body's got the engine of like a, you know, he's got a jet engine inside of his Aston Martin body. He's got a jet engine in there just burning up everything around, keeping that thing moving. Dude, fast. His body's constantly burning all the fatty acid in sight. It hurts, but he's grinding away. That's what I always think of. So there you go. The book touches on mental and emotional aspects. Increased cognitive function and emotional challenges, right? There's the keto flu that people talk about. I don't have no desire to experience what that is at all. I've heard the Joe Roganites in the past talking about the keto flu and how you just got to work through it. We've heard also from podcasts like that about taking endogenous ketones. And here's the truth about ketones. They are actually really metabolically beneficial. They're burned quicker by your brain. They're more efficient for your brain to use. And so people will argue, yeah, you should always be in ketosis, like no matter what. And I'm just thinking like, dang. So what do you do to get in ketosis? You got to burn fat. So you should always kind of be fasting, which is what the keto diets are all about. Use ketones. If you didn't know, that's what the keto stands for, right? It's a ketogenic. Your body's burning ketones. Ketogenic also might refer to, unfortunately, the burning of certain amino acids to replenish blood sugar, which is actually what would happen. So you actually are leaching protein a little bit more too to replenish till the fatty acids are turning to ketones, sure. But what's turning into blood sugar? Proteins. Ketogenic amino acids, aka certain parts of proteins. Pretty bad idea. Pretty bad idea to burn protein for energy. Off top. And ketones, not very good for fitness. Not very good for exercise, especially anaerobic exercise. But again, blood sugar, burning protein to create blood sugar. Not the best idea, guys. Not smart. We don't like doing that. And guess what? We don't fucking have to. It's just... Along the lines of a keto diet, however, they're starting to use that kind of an eating pattern more medically to help people recover from serious brain injuries. Now, in that respect, totally great, right? Because those ketones are being used, again, more efficiently by your brain. We talked about it before, BDNF, which, again, enhances our mood, makes us feel better. And lastly, we're talking about just modern fasting, time-restricted eating. These are types of fasts that we can go through on a daily. So how can we work with the intermittent fast? So go to the website. I have a full breakdown. I have multiple breakdowns because you guys, man, first off, it ain't a diet. It's not a diet, so that's why I'm down. You guys are down? Hopefully you guys understand that this is not a diet. Intermittent fasting is not a diet. I repeat, you can get away with this. So I've broken it down. I've had so many questions about it over the years. I've broken it down to a menu that you guys could use. Like, what do I eat? When do I eat it? Why do I eat it? There have been pasts where I've made meal plans with you guys, which you can also order from me on the website, where I made meal plans for you guys to do what you guys call a cleanse. And I say you guys because for me, I have always hated and avoided the word cleanse. This is the first time I've said cleanse in the fasting episode. And the first time I think I've said cleanse in 2024. Like, real talk. The idea of detoxification and cleansing, I just don't buy it. Right? But there is credence to it. A reason that fasting is linked to it. A reason that a juice cleanse becomes somewhat viable. And that's because it sends your body into autophagy. I'm going to have trouble with that damn word. Autophagy. I'm just going to say it like I'm like an American that just showed up in, you know, the Philippines and tried to speak Tagalog. But I still have an American accent. Autophagy. Okay. Don't mind me. Now, I'm American. I'm American by way of papership, naturalization, I guess they call it. So that is, of course, we know intermittent fasting is weight loss, metabolic health. Go to the website, understand what you're supposed to eat. You're supposed to break the fast by preparing for your workout. You're supposed to end the fast by replenishing your last workout. Pretty simple. Your workout's bracket, open bracket, when you begin or stop eating based on what type of 16:8 or 8:16 fast you're doing. Pretty simple. Now it gets complicated. What am I supposed to eat and why? All right, I got you. Go to the website. That's the simplest way I can. Also, the other thing to remember about your intermittent fast is we're not out here doing this simply for mental clarity. It might help with that. We're not doing it just for resiliency. It might help with those things too. So stick to your guns. And when I subscribe, again, let me go back to cleanses. It was like, how much juice are we drinking? How much, how many of those grass shots are we drinking per day? We're cheating it in a way. We're not cheating it. We're outsmarting it. We're getting in fiber, as much fiber as we can, because fiber ain't no calories. So those will flow right through you. You'll still be fasting, but you won't feel the pangs of overwhelming biblical fasting. Still have to focus, still get the delayed gratification, still have to double down 10 toes on this fast, but you don't have to suffer through it like you're trying, like you're suffering them guys. Man, they suffer through the desert. You don't have to. Did that already. Water fast. Maybe we talk about how it promotes autophagy, detoxification. Right. And this, again, is when the janitor goes through, the cellular janitor comes around and starts sweeping up all those dead organelles up inside your body. And then he tells you a story about what that cell was like back in the 70s. And then the cellular janitor pulls out that key ring right there, you know, and then says, oh, man, you know, it's changed. I remember the principal. I used to know him and the mayor, whatever. Janitor breaking out that autophagy, which again is basically once what happens after the janitor of the cells comes around is they, your body rebuilds all those organelles. So now maybe, I have no clue. This would be a question for a science, biological science nerd. Like, how old are your mitochondria? How old are your fucking Golgi bodies inside your cell? How old are your, how old is your nuclear envelope? How old are your ribosomes, you know, are they 10 years old? Do they replenish every so often? The thing with autophagy is now we have dead mitochondria floating around. Now we have new ones. And if you think just like your car where, man, you forgot to put in oil in your gas car and now the you threw a rod. Now you get a new motor. Or for me, I had to recently get a new motor for my electric. The car is 4 years old. The motor is 4 weeks old, right? So that thing's going to last longer. The cells are however old you are for the most part. Well, we replenish those too. But the organelles, maybe they're brand new. And think about the longevity of that. Increases longevity. I could get into a whole scientific, like, non-deep dive because I only know so much. But these are just... this is what the science is doing and how it relates to your everyday life, right? But the thing that we have to remember about autophagy, tourist voice, is autophagy happens a day into a fast. Now, if you're going to do a daily fast, you need to work with me. You need to work with a qualified nutritionist. You need to work with a dietitian. Somebody that can help you do that. And then it'll be like, why are you doing that? Well, you know, I read in this thick book. Anyway, dopamine fasting. It's the feel-good transmitter, of course. But gaming, social media, excessive talking, excessive eating spike your dopamine. So right now, right? Although excessive, I'm not talking excessively. I like to think I'm parsimonious with mine. If I'm not, I like to keep it like that. But all of these things help to improve focus, productivity, of you fasting, and emotional regulation, which I think is the most important part of this dopamine fast. Apparently, it varies amongst individuals. Like, you know, who's getting the most out of it? Like, what will happen if you just go cold on social media for a while? I mean, there's no science to back that up just as yet, but I think we can all agree that it's probably a good idea to do every now and again. And at one point, I remember being a kid and gaming and games were just seen as the worst, like satanic ritual. They were seen as just, I don't even know what to call it, the worst. Like, gaming was seen as just wholly unbeneficial, useless, a waste of time, money, and space. And now, and it's weird because if you were a kid in the 80s and 90s and you gamed, you understood that this wasn't totally useless already. If your parents, for some whatever reason, got into it, they would immediately see, oh, this ain't all bad. My old man worked on computers. He built computers in the 80s and the 90s. He built computers when not a lot of people were doing that. Built websites when no one was doing that. And on every computer he built, he put games on it. And here's a man who wasn't big on anything non-educational, right? And he was building PCs with games because I think even the computer nerds back then understood, like, games aren't like it. Like, even a game like checkers can teach you a little something about strategy. Why not make it 2D and isometric and have outcomes and plots? So all of these look just beneficial and can really spike the dopamine, clearly. And it might be beneficial for us to limit how much time we spend to reserve our dopamine for intrinsic things, nature, deep conversations and relationships, ego slaying, which I think is the height of delayed gratification and actually brings us the most happiness. Ego killing activities. And lastly, we'll talk about prolonged fasting. And this is something that really, again, it is what produces the most amount of ketosis and deep autophagy and can help to rejuvenate so many cells, help to manage chronic diseases, and probably helps you see into the future. If done correctly, at least for a hot second. I'm kidding, but it probably, if we know that short-term fasting increases mental acuity, then maybe a day or two max of, again, a supervised fast where you're taking in nutrients and electrolytes and fiber does more. And that autophagy, honestly, it's very tempting for me personally to think about trying something like that. By and large, and for sure it would help to alter your behavior in that 2 days. And people probably wondering why you're just like foaming at the mouth. No, that's a little intense, but definitely it would shift your behavior around something different. You might have to do a little bit too, may not be worth it, right? You have to do a lot of explanation involved, but it definitely is tempting to understand that there are some real scientifically based long-lasting benefits to taking a monitored, nuanced, scientific 24 to 48 fast. That's pretty dope. All right, listen, we've covered it top to bottom. I'm going to leave you with that. Go to the website, learn more about your nutrition so you can start if you're going to start that fast. But this week, we're going to talk about that delayed gratification a little bit more and more on our nutrition and training. So stay active right here on this Ego Killer motivation and the website and the YouTube for more. Good. And until the next one, stay all the way up TGIM. Let's go.